sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Episode 108. Don't mind walking alone. Walk alone. I walk alone. You know I walk all alone. I always been on my own ever since the day I was born. So I don't mind walking alone. Walk alone, I walk alone, you know I walk all alone. I always been on my own ever since the day I was born, so I don't mind walking alone. Hey, hey. All right, you know what?
Message.
Okay, hold on to that thought, okay? Welcome. Oh, damn it. You know what I just did? Accidentally hit a link. Okay, no, this time I'm serious. Welcome, I do mean it, welcome, and bienvenue à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. B.Black, a.k.a. Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, before I continue with the show, I want to inform you new listeners, hey, welcome, but I got to let you know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Hoosier Blues up in this bitch. I'm representing it, hold it down for black folks growing up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on September 3rd, 2023, on 5 p.m. on the Sabbath day. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd like to mention that it's kind of warm. It's kind of freaking warm. I don't know what's going on with Mother Nature. One second she's like cold, then the next she's hot. Cold, hot. Cold, hot. Is that what, yeah, I'm not going to say, I was going to say, is that what the hot flash is all about? You know, maybe I should. I'll tell you what, I'll Google it, and then I'll ask the question. But I'm just saying, Mother Nature is like all my fans are on, well, not in this room because it's warm. Yeah. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah, I'm going to have an extra special fuck Whitey in the second act of this show, News and Random Thoughts. All right. For you new listeners, check it out. Again, welcome. My episodes are broken down into three segments, act, if you will. The first act is the introduction, which is what I'm about to finish. Second one is news and random thought. And the last one is called final thoughts. All right. It's if you go in the show notes, you'll notice that it's broken down on the notes, and the links to what I'm most of the stuff I speak about are available in the show notes. All right. Did I mention that it is getting warm in here? I'm actually recording not just audio but video. I'm using my phone to record, and I'm just taking the opportunity to wear my Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It t-shirt. And if I sound a little happy, it's because it fits. The fact that it fits. I think I brought this t-shirt during COVID. And what do you know? A lot of the shit that after COVID, the disease just didn't take lives of a lot of people. It also shrank a lot of clothes in my closet. Fucking COVID. And but this particular t-shirt I'm wearing right now, you know what? Actually fits. I might post it on Instagram for your viewing pleasure, but I don't usually post pictures of myself, but yeah, I might just do that. All right. Did I mention it was warm in here? Okay, so introductions, a few dates to, a few happy birthdays, dates to remember, things to acknowledge, sorry, if you will. First one is happy anniversary to Ron and Karen. I believe here's the thing, is their wedding anniversary, right? And I believe they also, I'm not sure, you know what? I believe they also, it's also the birth date of their podcast. I don't know. Instead of leaving you in error, I'm just going to say happy anniversary to Rod and Karen. Happy belated anniversary. It was September 2nd. 21 years together. Rod posted this. He said, 21 years. These two nerds got married by Justice of the Peace. By the Justice of the Peace in downtown Charlotte. You know, I like how they didn't have, like, they didn't do the church wedding. They just said, yeah, you know, it's, yeah. I'm not big on, oh, wow, they're such a beautiful couple and things like that. I'm not that guy. I'm not that kind of person. But I do make an exception for this particular couple. It's, yeah, I remember the first time hearing them on a podcast. And you know what's the first thing that I noticed about them? I think by the third episode that I listened about their podcast, you know what the first, this is like I knew I had a problem. Because by the third episode, my first question was, how come she hasn't called him a nigga and he hasn't called her a bitch? How come these two are getting along so well? How come these two haven't gotten into a fight? And it hit me. I started to question the possibility that maybe all my examples of relationships, maybe might be worth, you know, looking into. Maybe looking into. So all this to say, happy anniversary. And shout out to all the couples out there that actually, I'm not talking about Hallmark couples. I'm talking about couples that you see them and you're like, yeah, man, you two were made for each other. Or they inspire you. They inspire others to, okay, if I had to be in a relationship, I want it to look like that. I mean, I guess all relationships are unique. But you know what I mean? Like, positive couples. Couples that just make you say, like the Obamas. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, yeah. Or EPMD. No, that's a bad example. Well, yeah. Okay. What else do I got? RIP Robin Harris, comedian Robin Harris. And happy birthday. His birthday was August 30th, 1953. He was born in 1953. He passed away March 18, 1990. But yeah, Robin Harris, fucking hilarious. He's like your favorite comics. No, he's like your favorite comic. Like, he's a legend in the game. If you don't know who Robin Harris is, Google him. Not Robin Williams, Robin Harris. All right. Hurricane Katrina, acknowledging that Hurricane Katrina was, that was August 23rd. Yeah, August 23rd, 2005 to August 31st, 2005. Yes. I still remember Hurricane Katrina, not that I was there, but I remember ignoring the news about the hurricane because I was so used to, another hurricane in the South. And I remember I used to walk to work and I would see all these headlines of black folks like front on the cover of black folks like, it's like they're pleading with the government for help, and that didn't get my attention. You know, I finally paid attention to Hurricane Katrina. I was at my desk, minding my own business, and one of my coworkers, who was also into hip hop like I was, comes up to me and says, "Yo, you hear Juvenile? His house got flooded in Hurricane Katrina." And that's when I was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 what's going on?" That's when I started to pay attention to Hurricane Katrina. Now, you know, it's actually a sad story. It's not just the devastation. It's everything after. The fucking, how do you call that? The opportunists. Everything I know about Hurricane Katrina and the aftermath was from watching Tremé. Another good, Tremé on, it's sad, man. It's a sad story. It's a drama-filled story, but Tremé on HBO, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and so after the storm, people are trying to get back to their normal life, and it wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy. All right, two more for the introduction. One more is, I call this Wisdom by... Wisdom by Rhett Fox, comedian Rhett Fox. And instead of me telling you, adding to it, I'm just going to play it. Hold on a second. I am just, damn it. Just bear with me as I click on the link. Yes, I did preload the site. All right. I might have to do pause. Start from the beginning and unmute. You guys ready? Here we go. It just made me laugh. I'm just sharing something by Rhett Fox that just made me laugh. So here we go.
Think of the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. I'd like to wish the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan a 5-car accident with no survivors. A slow ambulance with 4 flat tires and no spare. A junkie doctor with an $800 a day habit with an orangutan on his back. And a rusty scalpel in his hand as he's operating on the Grand Wizard in the hospital that's burning down on top of the operating table. And frozen fire hydrants from Alabama to Nova Scotia. And if they ever thaw out, muddy water in his coffin, other than that, good luck, and made lightning strike him in the heart 374 times just before some hungry, hydrophobia-filled possums chew through his expensive coffin for something strange to eat. Amen.
That is Rhett Fox, right? Well, that would really suck if I confused my black comedians. Oh, okay, the person who shared this, they were like, they dedicated that post to Mitch McConnell. Yeah, there goes your thoughts and prayers right there. All right, okay. sorry, I'm feeling insecure. That is Rhett Fox, young Rhett Fox, right? Okay, all right, well, you guys can mail in and feel free to subtract points for my black card and my comedy card and my, you know what? No, that's Rhett Fox. It's fucking, all right, okay. Okay, last but not least, I'm going to dedicate this to everyone who needs to hear this. Shout out to Viola Davis. I follow on Instagram, and she shared this with us. And I'm trying to figure out how to... Okay, here we go. Refresh. I'm doing a refresh, okay? Because I'm trying to unmute. Here we go.
Fix your face. What? Let me tell you something. Mm. You can and you will be amazing today.
What?
You can and you will be successful today.
Thank you.
You can and you will, and will be phenomenal today.
Today.
Now go out there and be great in their face. Fix your face and know that you are everything and everything is you. You will not let anybody ruin your day today.
Thank you, sister.
Now go be fabulous, honey. And you have a good day on purpose, huh?
You too.
You're welcome.
This woman made me smile. I'm close to tears, man. Remember last time, I probably shared the story of the last time. I remember feeling this emotional. I was at, went to Jamaica. And was it Ocho Rios? Anyways, I went to Bob Marley's estate. And it was me and a bunch of white people, right? And... we walked in, and the sister, I was by myself. I was on the strip by myself. And this sister, man, it's like, with dreads, older woman, she saw me, pointed me out. Not pointed me out, but saw me. It was like the goddess from all high staring at me, just sort of blah. And I forget what she said. But I know it started like, something around the line of, rise up, black man, something like that, in her accent, right? And did I hug her? But I knew shit. What broke? I was near tears. I don't know. You know, okay, so I would tell you that. Okay, this, I really don't want to turn this into a poor me, I'm a black man, whatever, right? But I will say, as a black guy, okay, just finish the sentence. I'm stressing myself over a sentence, right? But I was going to say, as a black male, not to say we have it the hardest, not to say we have the, but as a black male, I feel like it's rare to hear something positive being said about you. Well, you know, unless it's like sexually, some shit like that, you know. Oh, you got a big black dick, you know, BBC, stuff like that. Come fuck me in front of my husband. Not that shit. But I mean, like, that pierces your soul. All I know is when that woman reached out to me and she just acknowledged my presence, man, I was near tears, man. I was near tears. I remember feeling, this is a strange feeling. I'm not used to hearing that. Now, I'm not saying, hey, all black women do that for black men. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in that particular moment, here's the thing. I got to clarify. It's not just not hearing it. I don't even say it to my own self. Like, I'm even meaner to my own self. The world outside is one thing, but okay, so there's my own self shitting on me, but I don't know. It's just when she did it, I felt like it was an angel from heaven above reaching out and saying, like, imagine, you know, the creator, the who you consider to be the controller of the universe. Okay, I mean, if you're atheist, imagine an all-powerful being noticing you, acknowledging you, and saying, yo, chin the fuck up. You know, smile, bitch. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, yeah. I'm just grateful. I don't have a name to use. Tag someone who needs to hear this. Oh, is that the person? I don't know who the name of this content creator is. Oh, shit, I found her. It's MS. Okay, follow MSHDIC. Miss Hadik. Pimping Positivity Unicorn. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Alethea Crimmins. Yes, thank you, Alethea Crimmins. That was very beautiful to hear. All right, okay. what time is it? Yes. I can just stay. Like, I'm in a moment right now. I should be moving on to the next segment. I'm about to do that, but I'm just in a moment right now. This is not the first time I hear this clip. I remember the first time hearing it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start the show with this clip. Get a bit of positive energy going and mission accomplished. All right. Okay. Whew, let's shake it off. Okay, let's go. I'm ready. All right. I'm ready. Okay. Let's do this. All right. What was that? How likely? Oh, son of a bitch. Go to turn off all notification from FreeHub. What the fuck was that? You know when you go to a website? Okay, hold on. Let's go. Next segment. Yeah. Okay, that notification that you heard in the background is, you know when you go to a website and the stupid website asks you, hey, do you want to turn on a notification or some shit like that? I guess I must have accidentally hit yes. And and now that's what you heard, in the like unwanted notification. I miss the good old days when websites left you the fuck alone with that shit. Just go to the website and loads. Now there's pop-up galore. Not to say that pop-up is new. I mean, sure, it was worse without a pop-up blocker. But I'm just saying, stop annoying me. Do I want notification? The answer is no. All right? Fucking no. All right. Okay, let's go. All right. So first item I have on Random Thoughts. I should probably give you a heads up. I'm not sure if I'll be recording on Wednesday. So I'm going to take my time with this podcast. All right. Arrête de dire un si, arrête avec les T-Bridge words. Okay. First one, for random thought. I can't remember the line by Guru, the rapper from the rap group Gangstar. And he said something, he used the expression rapping style. My style of rapping. And it had me thinking of my style of podcasting. How in the early hip-hop days, every rapper had their own style. Granted, sure, most of us, when it was just New York, when New York started out as being the only place where rappers came from, sure, a lot of us try to mimic what New York did. But within New York, every rapper, Queens rapper had their own style. Brooklyn rapper had their own style. Bronx rappers had their own style. It was constant innovation. It was a constant innovation thing. Then I remember when West Coast Kick came in, and Dirty South had their own style. Now, I remember when Canada came in. Now, with the exception of... Okay, you know what? I was going to say... Okay, there's a lot of rappers I could say, but, you know, Mishimi, Maestro Fresh West, Cardinal, Dream Warrior. You know, okay, all right. What I was about to say is I remember when in high school we started out with our own rap group. And I say this, I'm going to point out something about myself before I diss everyone in Canada, every rapper that came out in Canada, right? But I remember it was all about copying someone, your favorite rapper style. It wasn't about innovating. If you did innovate, you were considered a loser. Your shit was whack. And you know what? The rappers who did innovate stood out. Okay, here's the point I'm trying to make, right? I feel like I grew up in this notion that no one innovated. It was all about copying someone else's style. Whether, and I don't just mean like rapping. I mean like public speaking, music. It was all about, maybe because we're in conservative town, but hip-hop would have never been created in Ottawa. Because someone would have been like, oh, that's stupid. And the person creating it would have been like, oh, you're right. Or wouldn't have had the guts to like try it out. I'm saying innovation is not really okay. Again, speaking from my own experience, I'm sure there might be someone in Ottawa who might disagree with what I have to say, but I'm just going to say that a city like where I'm from did not encourage innovation. I remember joking. Okay, I used to have this joke. It was actually common, right? Is I could scan through a group of people in my city and then notice the one person's from out of town. I'd be like, hey, you're not from around here, are you? He goes, how did you know? Well, because you're doing shit like being an individual. You have your own style. You're not wearing shit from the mech or whatever the fuck. It was just, we just took in styles. What I'm trying to say is, what is this, episode 108? It's only at episode 108 that I realized that this podcast is my style, is my art, and I get to decide, fuck it, I want to do this, all that, that's the podcast. I mean, it's freedom of expression. It's freedom of expression at its best. Now, granted, I do want an audience. I do want an audience, but I want to express myself first. I want to say what I have to say. I want to say what I want to say the way I say it, with my own innovation, with my own shit like foolishness like, or things like,
you cannot talk,
or the, you know what I mean? It's like, it's sound effects. All this is my innovation. It's my podcasting style. It's my rapping style. Now, I'm having a conversation with myself. That's why I'm recording. I guess it's coincidence that I'm recording. I'm talking to myself right now, right? It's kind of an affirmation. I'm saying, be black, man. Respect your style. Respect the style. And anyone disses it, you kill them. Okay, you don't kill them, but, you know, respect the style, respect the art. Don't be waiting for people from the outside to show up and be like, oh, this is great. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that kind of art. I don't want to be that artist who hates his own art and is waiting for other people to be like, oh, shit, this is dope. Really? You think so? I don't want to be that guy. I'd rather not be that guy. I mean, there's a journey. There's a long journey for me to finally be the person. Kind of like like let's say Jay-Z, the Jay-Z's of the world. When he came out, he believed in his own rapping style. I think he believed in it even before people were like, yo, this shit is dope, dog. Who knows? Maybe it was a bit of both. But I admire artists who can look. I mean, all us artists, I imagine, are, you know, we're sensitive. We can be sensitive, you know, like Erykah Badu said, you know, keep in mind that I'm an artist and I'm sensitive about my shit. I'm just saying, I just acknowledging that I feel good about the fact that I'm developing a style that I'm hoping that I one day will attract an audience. But for now, I'm enjoying the journey in creation. With that said, I'm also realizing that this podcast is, there's two things that I'm learning about this content. In order to make an effective podcast, what I need to bring to this table is one, I need to be kinder to myself. And what I mean kinder to myself, not what you hear, but what's going on in my mind. In my mind, there's a motherfucker that's shitting on everything that I'm doing and how I'm doing and how I'm saying it. So being kinder to myself, so fighting that motherfucker inside of me. And two, learning to respect my own style. Speaking of which, going on to the next segment. On Friday, I had the pleasure of visiting for a second time the Ottawa Artists Gallery exhibit. They had an exhibition going on called We Do Not Dream of Labor. And I talked about it in a previous show. I guess I'll link it in the, did I link it in the show notes so you can get a bunch of ideas? But all you need to know is a bunch of artists from my hometown. Visual artists, is that what you call them? Painters? Motherfuckers who paint. Whatever that art is, right? People who paint. There was an exhibition in Ottawa, and I remember going there and feeling and telling myself that, wait a minute, I'm an artist too. But the thing is, these folks. I was in the gallery. First one is I was in the gallery and I was in admiration of these artists. Putting themselves out there, expressing themselves, and basically being, when I think of my journey into respecting my own art, loving my own art, they're my inspirations. That's what I'm trying to say. I want to have the same confidence in my own stuff that they have, like to the point where they can go and say, yes, this is worthy of being in a museum. Yes, it costs you $3,000. That's what I feel it's worth. Like that kind of courage. So I applaud all the artists that were curated for this museum. And two, there's a second thing, right? This is the bittersweet portion. I went there as a person who admires the artist more than the art. Because I remember being there and I was there with a friend and she was just like picking up on the visual. Oh, I guess being able to. What I'm trying to say is I was there and I just saw a picture. I took a few pictures with my phone. Maybe I need to think about it. But in terms of the message they were trying to convey through these images, blank. It was constantly blank. It was the equivalent of listening to a podcast in German. I mean, I can hear the words. I can hear the sound. I can tell someone is trying to communicate something to me. But I couldn't interpret what they were saying. What I'm trying to say is, it's only if they had provided like a background, this is what I was trying to do with this art, then I'd be like, oh shit, that was deep. But I can't do it on myself. Like there was a little frustration on my part. I'm not blaming the art. Don't get me wrong. No, this is, it's the same part of me that's like, wishes that I was into jazz is the same part of me that's speaking about how I was looking at these portraits and I was like, I don't know what to make. I mean, I see a bird, I see a blah, I see this, that, and the third, you know. I see a man who's fallen back. What does that mean? Like, there was this one picture that got me is actually after my friend explained it to me, is this boxer in a fetal position, and his clothes was on the side, and his boxing uniform was on the side, and she picked up on the fact that it was called on and off. And I like when she pointed out the clothes symbolizes when he's on and when he's off. I'm like, oh, shit, that was dope, that was fucking dope. You know what I mean? I mean, like, I love deep conversations. I love having conversations with people who are, like, introspective, who are, like, you can tell they cook these thoughts, and then not cook like an accountant, but, like, you can tell, like, they marinate thoughts, and then when they speak, it's some profound shit. You're like, wow, never looked at it that way. And what was getting to me is how I was at this museum staring at all these portraits. And I know these artists had a fucking thought they were trying to convey through that image. And I, what's the word that I wrote down? I said I wish I understood art. That's really what I was trying to say. I wish I could understand art. Now, I've heard Talal Macy say, he's a poet, and he said that sometimes these artists don't want to tell you. They want to know how it makes you feel, how you react. And maybe that's my problem, because it's kind of like, instead of like interpreting or even being like, yo, I don't like this or whatever, sharing the thoughts. It's like, no, I need to know what you were thinking so I can tell you what I'm thinking. And maybe that's the thing about art is, yeah, I don't do that with hip hop, do I? With music. But anyway, I'm not saying I had a bad experience. I'm just acknowledging something about myself when it comes to visual arts, unless it's like porn, something like that there. Like, you got to stimulate the thing in the brain there. But if it doesn't stimulate anything, then I'm just staring at an image and, like, I don't even, like, try to, like, marinate on the image. Maybe I should try. You know what? Bottom line is, I wish I understood art. I guess I could Google that. All right. Next on the this in the show notes, I labeled this as from Netflix Painkiller to Canadian True Crime Podcast, episode 143, The Truth About Canada's Opioid Crisis. What's interesting is, well, first of all, shout out to what's the content creator's name? The podcast. She's an Aussie. She's from Australia, right? It kind of like, what's her name? About name of the Christine. Episode subscripted by information. Like, she's oh, there we go, Christy Lee. There we go. I referenced her before. Or one of her because she did a true crime episode on the shooting at the. Polyvalent, but the massacre there, the Polyvalent, the women who got shot in the school at, I'm not going to say the name of the shooter, but anyway, she did a great in-depth analysis or reporting of the incident. Getting back, so true crime, shout out to you, Christy Lee, because you did a podcast about something that I was thinking about myself. When I was watching Painkillers on Netflix and where they go over the opioid crisis, my first question is, I wonder how Canada was affected by the opioid crisis. Whether it was, as, like, because I know in the States, these drug companies actually said, no, it's safe. No, you're good. No. The only people who get addicted to this thing are junkies. No. The rest of you, no, you're good. And anyway, so Christy Lee in her part one episode, she goes through, it's an amazing episode, man. She just, one, she reads letters or reads the stories of people who've died from the opioid crisis. And two, she goes into the history of how opioids got into this country. And it's like, wow. But you should listen to it yourself because I won't do it justice. But the major takeaway that I got from, there's one sentence that she made in there. at towards the end of that episode, Christy Lee, I'm talking about, and she says, see, the war on drugs was a war on the users. Or when we talk about, I could get even more done. It was actually a war on black people, but that's another story. But what I'm trying to get at is, we talk about these drug users, but we don't talk about the reasons we have drug users. And the idea is, basically she used the word pain relief for life, because that's what drugs are. It's like as life continues to get harder for some folks, for all of us, drug is like the escape. Look, I remember going through a period in my life where if death came up to me, maybe I somewhat still feel the same way. But if death were to knock on my door and say, "Be black, it's time to go," but I tell you what, I'll let you do one thing. Now the rest of you are probably saying, "Well, I want to go say goodbye to my family." I was like, "Nope, fuck that. I want to do drugs. I want to get high. I want to go out high. I want to do drugs and then leave. I'm not saying goodbye to anybody. I'm not listening to more fucking music, whatever. Drugs, and what I'm saying is, life to me felt like the only thing good life had to offer was a high. And I'm considering the idea that, maybe it's an addiction, whatever, right? But the thing of the idea that drug was, like, life was just fucking pain, and drugs was the only thing that provided relief. Some people say love, drugs, love, they rhyme, club, love, whatever. Hugs, love, thugs, anyway. Like, maybe you found your one and only, and that's your relief from life. Good for you. But I'm like, I could get that same sensation from drugs, man. I'm just saying is, as we tackle this opioid crisis, we should talk about, we should talk about how this fucking thing we call life, and how some people are just, is it some people? But just for some folks, life is just more of a pain in the ass than anything else. And just wanting that relief. Like, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at these people who drugs is their escape from this thing we call life. But final thought, the last thought I had for with respect to this opioid crisis is, actually I had two. It was actually difficult for me to hear it while remembering that, yeah, no one during the crack epidemic, no, didn't get that kind of sympathy during the opioid crisis. I'm not saying they don't deserve it, but it just bothers me that, because white people are addicted, we give a fuck. But okay, whatever. That's here we are. Yes. I guess I'm happy that we are taking a more effective sympathetic approach to the opioid crisis. Like, we're not shaming people for getting high. It's like, okay, whoa. What's going on here? Let's talk about it. But yeah. The final thought that I did have is about the opioid crisis is what scares me when I hear Netflix Painkiller and Canadian True Crime podcast. It just reminds me of how much I worry about being one of those people who just fall through the cracks. Who, what I mean by fall through the cracks, it's basically is, in our mind, we're like, we're in the first world country, we're good, we'll be all right. But it's so easy to end up and lose your house, paycheck to paycheck. Some people are one paycheck away from being homeless. Like, all this shit, being like on the side of society, the part of society, the people in society that everyone looks at and being like, oh, it must be your fault. It's your fault. You don't deserve any help. Get the fuck off this boat and drown. I don't know. You know, yeah, the selfish, as tragic as this epidemic is, or poverty, but what scares me the most is just ending up like that. Like, I don't see myself being the next Elon Musk, or even fucking close to, or Elon Musk's driver, or Elon Musk's garbage bag. No, I feel like I got more in common with the dude asking me for change than I do with the rest of these rich assholes. Look, the rich get richer and the poor don't get shit. The poor just get more friends, more poor people to join them. All right. Hey, last night I watched The Flash, the movie The Flash, and I, surprisingly, I liked it. It was actually, I didn't expect it to like. Like, I don't regret not seeing it in theaters. I did see it legally. It was on one of the streaming channel, and I actually liked it. Now, am I going to tell people to go watch it? Not really. I'm just going to say that it was a movie I expected to not like, but and surprisingly, it was, I mean, storyline and even the action pack, the action in there. Now, I do remember there was something going on with the lead, the main actor. What's his name? Ezra Miller. And I Googled it, man, and fuck. Now I'm like, yeah, and his storyline is why I'm not recommending people. It's like, I'm not going out there and saying, yeah, you should watch the movie. I'm like, yeah, that dude has done some toxic shit. And I kind of find it funny that the theaters were like, damn, this dude's bad for business. Oh, fuck that. We're not going to waste this expensive ass movie because this guy wants to beat women. Fuck that. Money talks. Cash rules everything around me. Cream. What I'm saying is there was principles. On principle, they should have said, nah, we do not support the action of this asshole, Ezra Miller. But he claims it's a mental health thing. You know what? Okay, there's a link in the, if you go on the show notes, there's another section called Other Links, and I call it Ezra Miller's Reign of Terror, a timeline of the Flash and Stars, many controversy, and you'll understand what the fuck I'm talking about. But overall, yeah, the movie was all right, man. The movie was all right. Okay. You know what? I think sometimes DC movies are really doing a good job. I know I was never a big fan of DC Comics. Fight me. Whatever, right? Not that I was a big comic book nerd, but I'm just saying. I was like, Superman. Superman can suck my dick. Whatever. DC superheroes didn't make sense to me. Like, Marvel is where it was at. Anyway, but when it comes to movie, yo, DC knows how to make an action movie. Not to say Marvel doesn't, but I'm saying, yeah, man, they're really good at making, I may not like some of their heroes, but or not impressed by some of their heroes, but when it comes to action shots, good job, DC. All right, okay. I called it The Self-Awareness of a White Man. Oh, The White Man's Self-Awareness. Right, and this is in relation to, and it's a link to DeSantis booed at a vigil for Jacksonville shooting victims. Now, if you're familiar, you could Google it, but in Jacksonville, there was a shooting. This white dude, in America, you know, racist white dude, grabbed a gun and killed three people. Was it a dollar store or something like that there? But that's not the point, right? So they had a vigil for the victims, and this asshole DeSanti, that's the water, shows up to the fucking vigil. You know what? I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt that before he showed up, he argued with his advisor, saying, "The fuck, are you crazy? Them niggas are gonna lynch me." He knew. I want to believe that he knew better. But his advisor said, look, if you don't go, it's racist. If you do go, it's racist. We got to go. Take their shit. Anyway, long story short, this asshole shows up and says some white people bullshit about, like, yeah, racism does not belong in Florida. I don't know. He says some white people bullshit about slavery. He probably didn't even say about slavery, about racism. He probably didn't even mention racism. He just said, yeah, what happened is really bad. Okay, got to go. But what gets me is this fucking asshole shows up to a vigil of a shooting where three black people were killed by a fucking racist. And this asshole shows up pretending like he can't make a connection between not teaching children, not hurting white children's feelings, about slavery. We don't want them to feel bad about themselves. But we do want them to feel that same hatred that their ancestors felt toward that same thing that dehumanizes. Look, what bothers me is white people like DeSantis, who willfully ignorant, who either can't or don't want to make the link between their stupidity, their obliviousness as white people, and racism. It's like racism is this thing that it's like a plague. It's like this unexplainable phenomenon in the universe. I don't know where this slavery comes from, nigga. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just so fucking, you know, it angers me as much as, it was on the last episode, right? It angers me, I don't know if it angers me more or less, but it angers me. Oh, hold on a second. I got to turn that off. One of my hoes on Discord is hollering at me. That's not true. I forgot to turn off Discord. Right. It angers me as much as this white dude I got into. This white dude who was complaining about capitalism on TikTok was complaining about capitalism. I mentioned this on the past episode. Complaining about capitalism. Then complaining about bootlickers. People who are like envy billionaires and think that billionaires are like superheroes and one day they're going to be like a billionaire and that how capitalism is all fair and whatever, right? And then when I mentioned that, yeah, but the worst part about these bootlickers is they vote. This fucking asshole talks about how, yeah, I don't believe in voting. Now, I avoided, I didn't want to get it because I was steaming. I was like, just wanted to shed this guy into. What made me angry about is just these white people and their privilege and how they're like, yeah, I don't believe in voting. It's like, oh, your life must be so great that you don't see any consequences to not voting. Okay, hold on. Let me make the link between DeSantis and whatever, right? At least DeSantis, voters, they'll support him, right? The people who you call racist, they show up to fucking vote. That's why DeSantis, fuck that nigga. Anyway, him, Trump, that's how they got elected. Because their supporters, as ugly, as stupid, as ridiculous, as cult following, boot licking, as no matter how much less of respect you have for them, they show up to fucking vote for their guy. And in the meantime, we got people who are like, I'm not voting because I can't find a perfect option. There's no perfect fucking option. It's just like when you get in a fight, if you're getting dissed by someone, holy shit, if someone is fucking with you and he's twice your size, sure, you can back out, but it's just like if you like decide to fight back, there's no guarantee that you won't get your ass kicked. That's what a fight is. That's what war is. I'm just angry. Like, I don't know who I hate most. Like, on one end, you got the, I'll tell you what, on the top of the food chain of white people, the ones who are like, I hate niggers. That's at the top. At the bottom is a bunch of, no. I'm not racist. But I ain't gonna do shit about racism. I'm not going to do shit to help you black folks out, except for maybe thoughts and prayers. I'm going to give you some thoughts and prayers. Like, okay, I'm getting off topic. I'm just, like, oh, that's where I was going with fuck Whitey right there, man. It's like 100% fuck Whitey, DeSantis showing up at a vigil and acting like, oh, why do these black people not like me? Oh, fuck off, man. I hate that obliviousness, like that willful ignorance towards racism. It's like, I don't know why there's still racism going on. White people act like racism is like like in a movie. You know, we're gonna feel like, or white people think that racism ended after the I Have a Dream speech by Martin Luther King. Right. Like a bunch of white racists listen to this black guy talk about Have a Dream. And black boys and white girls sitting at the same pool table. Yeah, like those motherfuckers who used to lynch black people are like, you know what? That nigger's got a point. You know, okay, you know, okay, this speaks to my anger, where this anger comes from, and I'm going to calm down. This anger comes from to white people's inability, unwillingness to look at racism for what it really is. Sometimes I think white people, racism is just that thing that black people won't shut the fuck up about. Or it's just that thing they keep, black people keep bringing up to make them feel bad about themselves. It's like, sorry, okay, shtamotzila, okay, hold on a second. Yeah, someone should have told them.
You cannot talk.
There we go. Ah, anyways, okay, je me calme. Fuck DeSantis, man. Fuck him as a record label of the motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with DeSantis, then fuck you too. All right, okay, good. It's out of my system now. Okay, what time is it? All right. Yeah. Let me clear my throat. Okay, I really want to do that. Okay, fine. All right. Okay, I'm going to play this clip. Shout out to my man, Donnell Wright. In the last episode, in the show notes, you'll notice there's a title that goes something Donnell Wright said. And that dude, content creator, he was born to content create. And Donnell Wright speaks about Christian love, says something about Christian love that I could connect to. And instead of like ruining it for the rest of you, I'm going to play it. Here we go. As soon as I can find it. That's not it. So much for preloading this shit. That's not it. There it is. Okay, here we go. Oh, you know what? You're probably saying, hey, how come I can't hear anything? You know what it is? Forgot to hit unmute. There we go. All right, here we go.
Whenever I highlight systemic issues that are going on in the church or behavioral issues that certain Christians exhibit, I will get this on my page.
I should pause and say that, needless to say, this segment is called Church Wretchedness. And yes, for shout out to those of you from the Blackout Test wondering, hey, church wretchedness, are you stealing from Rod and Karen? No, not at all. All right? They have sword wretchedness. I have church wretchedness. They're McDonald's. I'm McDowell's. Here we go. All right, let's go. Church wretchedness. I should have a song for church wretchedness, but here we go. Take it away, Donnell Wright.
There's no hate like Christian love. And I want to talk about that phrase for a little bit because there's a lot of truth to that. What I see time and time again is that Christians will express hate with a smile on their face and using love and light rhetoric. It's happening consistently. Pastor Kevin Wallace is a great example. He said that he wanted his church to be the most loving church in the world, while at the same time spewing one of the most violently homophobic sermons that I've heard in a long time.
Mm. We want this house to be the most loving church in the world.
Right.
I hear the Holy Spirit whispering to me, never let your love become an excuse for compromise.
Another great example is W. Rose Worship. She's the woman who stole, purified, and Christianized an eco song saying that it was demonic. And she's done nothing but double down. And she's doing it with a sweet voice, saying like, we just have to stand on the truth of the word of God and we have to be uncompromising, while at the same time demonizing and attacking a black artist and calling the lyrics demonic.
We are also going to be called out by the world. This is a reality of being a spirit-led Christian. This is a reality of standing up for truth in love.
But it's not about the song being demonic. It's about the hatred that the person has in their heart. They can call it love. They can say that they're standing on God's word or whatever they want to call it. But what's really happening is that they're hurting and demonizing people. And keep in mind, this is something that has been done historically. When the Europeans colonized Africa and the Americas, a lot of them went forward with this idea that they were saving these poor people groups from themselves and introducing them to the gospel. So any harm that was done to these communities, the enslavement, the pillaging, the murder, the theft of land, any of that stuff that was done with the idea of we're helping these people, we're civilizing them. But this is exactly what I've talked about in a previous video. Christian supremacy and Christian privilege in the West gives people the ability to hide behind labels and not be held accountable for the fruit they bear. So they can profess love, but live hate. They can profess peace, but live in conflict with nature, other people, even themselves. But I agree that our religion is not the life that we idealize, but the life that we actually live. And it's very telling that the closer that some of us get to actually living love, the further away we get from institutions, spaces, and even people that simply profess it. And I think what's happening more and more now is that people are seeing behind the veil of the love rhetoric. They're looking instead at the actions that people are exhibiting. And the funny thing is, that's actually a Christian principle. The Bible says, by their fruit you will know them. So when people say there's no hate like Christian love, they're looking at the fruit of people's actions, not the words that they speak. And this is one of the many reasons that people continue to divest from the church. Have y'all noticed this? Feel free to share your thoughts in the comments. And as always, like and follow for more content.
I shared this thought in the comments, but it's just too long. Yeah, I'm not good at being concise. Is this concise? Brief. Just being brief. Okay, first thought that I have after hearing this was I was thinking of a. It's not just the friend, this particular friend that I'm remembering, but it's been an ongoing. Like a lot of family members would do this, and it's like, I insult you because I love you. I am making fun of your weight because I want you to lose weight. I am going to disrespect you because I'm showing you love. That was Christian love for me. That was, it's what really, the part that got, that I thought the most was how this is probably why, again, grew up amongst Christians and, didn't help that I was a people. Okay. And it's probably why I don't trust the words, I love you. Because to me, in my experience, whenever someone says, I love you, it's, I need something from you. I'm about to ask you for a favor. It's not because of what you are. It's more of what you're going to do for me. I had an ex, poor girl, made the mistake of, and what wasn't her fault? She didn't know, right? But she didn't realize it, but dropped the L word on me. And let's just say I did not react in a way she expected. I did not react in a way that, like, there was definitely some emotional immaturity on my part in the way I reacted, but I remember when she did it, and all I could feel was rage. It wasn't like, hey, I'm flattered or anything like that. It wasn't anything, like, no. First that came to mind was anger. And all I could think about is, oh, fuck. You're about to play me. You just want to, you know, this is just, like, explain me this, man. Why do we hurt those we love? Is that a defect? Is that normal? Is it normal to, like, by accident? Okay, sure, by, no. Why do we hurt those we've loved? I've been hurt by strangers, by people I don't know. I remember been robbed, whatever, right? But I still remember being hurt by loved ones. And not to make excuses for one. I mean, hurt people. I you know, there's that aspect. It's part of it too. What I'm saying is I don't think I grew up in or the people I grew up with also didn't understand what we meant, what it means to love someone. I don't know. I mean, it's a hit and miss. I can't say it was all bad, but I do know that it's enough for me to connect to what Darnell Wright says about Christian love. To me, Christian love was, oh, you're reciting the Bible? I love you. Like, if as long as I behave in a way that I want you to behave, then you're finally entitled to love, to receiving love. But you need to act the way I want you to act. And flip over, and then you also have, if you loved me, you would do X. If you loved me, you would accept Christ in your life. If you loved me, you would, like, love was more a control thing, was more of a prison, was more of, I'm making a link between what he said about Christian love. I'm trying to make a link between what he said about Christian love and how I grew up never understanding, like, to me, saying I love you to me, it's, I'm like, what do you want? My first thought is, what do you want? I don't think there's ever been a time where someone said, or maybe like in the early days, I'm like, oh, really? Really? Because I don't like myself. I can't look in the mirror and say, if that's an affirmation and just say, I love you, yeah, it's not going to work for me. Because the word love doesn't, I don't, it's just one of those things that I don't understand. Like, I'm told it means one thing, but the behavior has been different. Getting back to Christian love. I remember growing up on the idea, actually, I used to be a huge fan of Jesus. Not him personally, his story, the story of Jesus. Like, he's a cool guy. Oh, wow. He gives a fuck. Like, oh, my God, he let the children come to me. Like, he just, the way they painted him, like, he was just this amazing individual. And then, like, it got to a point where I was like, I got to a point where I made a distinction between the followers, Jesus, and the followers. Two completely different things. Like, the idea of Jesus. And how he was the symbol of love. He was the love in flesh. I used to believe all that shit. And then I'm like, I don't know. I guess the followers got to be more than the followers had made a stronger impression about Christianity than the idea that I had about Jesus. But one thing's for sure, the biggest part is I couldn't get over why are we at war with gay people? Should we be more accepting? Should we be like opening the door? Like, shouldn't? Isn't that what Jesus wanted us to do? Don't be a sucker, whatever. You know, anyways, I'm just, that's just my thoughts on Christian love. I hate it. I fucking hate it. If there's a bunch of Christians in heaven, send me to hell. All right, and this concludes, where do we go? This concludes News and Random Thought. Oh, that was a long News and Random Thought? Whatever. Okay. Okay, let's jump to... Damn, I'm feeling good. Let's jump to final thoughts, and we get the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, let's do this. Don't copy my style. This is just one style out of many. Like a piggy bank, this is one penny. My brother's name is Kenny. Not Kenny, Parker. Is it not? Yeah, whatever, okay. Where was I? Ooh, some new dauntless. Okay, let me get rid of some of these windows. Some of these. It's got a whole bunch of tabs open. And I'm like, since I'm not using it, I'm going to close a bit. Get yourself comfortable, right? As I wrap up with some final thoughts. Okay, so. Yes, I'm following her. She looks pretty. Sorry, I was just. Oh, Lafayette, Louisiana. Right. Okay, maybe I should, as I'm cleaning things up, I should probably give you heads up that I don't know if I'm going to be recording on Wednesday. And the reason I bring this up is because I need to get prepared for my trip this weekend. Because I'm going to Apex Spoken Word. And I'm also going to, hold on, let me do this better. Okay. I'm going to Apex Spoken Word. And then I'm flying out from there, from Jersey to North Dakota, to Charlotte, not Charleston, Charlotte, North Carolina, to see a live recording of the Black Guy Who Tips. Yay! Needless to say, I'm fucking excited. I'm excited. But problem is, the other thing too is I got to pack, and I don't want to talk about it, all right? So yes. Don't be surprised if I need Wednesday to clear things out so I could get ready to pack and get ready for my trip. So I'm just saying there's a possibility. You know what? Fuck, it's my podcast. What the fuck? Okay, but I'm just giving you a heads up. There's a chance I may not record for next week. So this is why I'm kind of taking my time with this podcast. Okay, hold on a second. So I am so distracted by Alethea Crimmins? Jesus Christ, sorry. Her Instagram is in the background, and damn, I am so, what's that word? Strucken? You know, like in the movie when they're just like, smile. Anyway, okay, I will follow you later. Focus, be black. Smitten by her looks. Smitten, is it smitten? Whatever that English word is. All right, okay, painkillers, close this. All right, okay. What's up with today's title, right? Because that's what did I really close it? No wonder I can't find my page. Okay, sorry about that, gang. Okay, what's up with the title of today's episode? As you probably can tell, if you're a fan of The Roots, it's the chorus for the track Walk Alone by The Roots. And last episode, I was talking about friendship, right? And I remember I was going for a walk, and I had Walk Alone playing in the black in the background, and I'm like, damn, fuck friendship. Let's talk about loneliness. But yeah. Hold on, what is this track? It's not just about loneliness. It's like standing on your own 2 feet. It, you know what? It's a deep song that I need to let marinate. But it goes, here, I'll read it out. It goes, Black Thought, True North, and P-O-R-N, sounding like Jaquan. How's that Jaquan? P-O-R-N? Jaquan? I don't know what the fuck that means. Collaborate on this soulful piano-heavy track. Dice Raw provides to the vocals of the hook and makes himself sound like a really old jazz band. Okay, so there's no explanation of what the track's all about. But anyway, Walking Alone. Goddamn. All I know is that part of the song where I don't mind walking alone had me thinking a lot about the comfort I find in solitude. It just hit me while preparing for this show is, I guess that's the definition of being an introvert, or part of being an introvert is how my reset button, you know, when you're playing on your computer, control alt delete, and you know, it's been running too long and it's time to restart, reboot your computer. My reset button is solitude. There is a comfort in solitude that I can't explain to you. But I do know that I love it. Probably more than drugs. Solitude. But the thing is, right, I mentioned this on the last episode. I wish there was a more mature way to speak about loneliness. But the thing is, every once in a while, loneliness will rear its ugly head. And the way I process loneliness is by not processing it, by ignoring it. And every once in a while, it's like if I could keep that feeling of loneliness, I have it in a cage. Every once in a while, it jumps out. It escapes. It usually escapes when I'm like drunk on some beer I don't like. Usually it's beer. Too much beer. And it escapes. And I'm reminded. I'm like, oh, you lonely piece of shit. All right, time to jerk off. You know what I mean? I'm just like. But the thing is, there's a comfort in loneliness. In solitude. I remember growing up and to my parents, it didn't make sense. It's like, come on, be around people. Like, I don't think they understood what it meant to be an introvert. But for them, it was like a sad thing for someone to be on their own or to not be around people. What do you mean you don't want to, you know? I used to like close my door and it was just me trying to hit the reset button. And to them, it was like, what, are you mad at us? What's going on? Open the door. What the fuck? You don't want to speak to us? You know what I mean? As a child, you weren't allowed to have boundaries. So I grew up with this idea that being alone was a bad thing or was not a normal thing. It's only when I finally moved out to on my own, I'm like, you know what? The world could go suck my dick. I love this solitude. I could recite, but how the song go? Goes, walk alone, I walk alone, I walk alone. No, I walk alone, I walk alone. You know, I walk all alone. I always been on my own, true. Ever since the day I was born, so I don't mind walking alone. I tolerated a very shitty relationship once because I thought that I didn't want to be alone. The truth is, yeah. The truth is, no, because I love the idea of relationship. But I also, yeah, I love being able to say, my girlfriend, even though I followed up with, could be a real bitch, you know what I mean? Even though I wasn't saying nice things about her, my girl, but I used to love being able to say, my girlfriend. I got to think about that. Was it because it felt good to, because she was my example that, oh, you're okay, you're normal. She was the prop that I was using to be like, okay, you're not that fucked up. You know what? I'm not sure why I enjoy being able to say my girlfriend. It wasn't just the sex. I mean, sure, it was a part of it. But the thing is, yeah, I'm not sure why I like the idea of relationships. But I got to get back to you on that one. But I do remember there was moments in that relationship where I was like, fuck, let me have more of this solitude. Jesus Christ, lady, can you shut the fuck? Can you leave me alone? And I would make the mistake of dating women who, to them, is they were needy. So they needed you to, like, you had to be available all the time. Not all the exes, you know what I mean? But I mean, some of them were like, had to be available all the time. They relied on you. You were like their back support. Like, I remember one, she didn't have any friends. I was her only friend. And I remember trying to hang out with my own friends. And she was like, so what am I supposed to do? Hang out by myself? It's like, oh, sorry, fellas. You're going to have to count me out. Why, are you getting some good pussy? Nope, because she's manipulating me right now. What I'm saying is, my intention wasn't to diss my exes. I'm saying I made the mistake of dating women I was not compatible with. I don't know what the fuck compatibility was. All that matters, I wanted someone I could say my girlfriend. Yeah, you know I mean, I'm just saying I used to not put a lot of thought into who I dated. I didn't know you were supposed to do that. I just, you know, she had a fat ass. That's all that matters. What I'm saying, but okay, I'm saying I'd be in relationships where they just made me enjoy even more my solitude. Yes, I still remember telling myself part of being in a relationship, part of the cost of being in a relationship is sacrificing your need for solitude. Yeah, that's wild. That's kind of wild. That is wild. Yeah. Okay. I guess where I'm getting at right now is what I'm trying to process is I still love I enjoy my solitude, but I don't know how to balance it with those moments of loneliness. Not like kill yourself lonely. I mean, no, moment, that feeling of, you know, it'd be nice if someone was there. But the thing is, not with just anyone. People whose presence you enjoy and they enjoy yours. Shout out to sex workers. One thing I've learned about sex workers is the genuine, the big lessons I learned about sex worker. It took a sex worker for me to understand that as long as you give a woman what she wants, she will return the favor. Well, you know, the right one, of course. Even if it's a sex worker. That's what I used to like about sex worker back in the days is because it was very fucking simple what they wanted. I'm not attacking women, the opposite sex. I'm saying as a guy who used to date women he was not compatible with, I'd say shit like, I don't know what these bitches want. Of course, if you date someone you're not compatible with, yeah, what their needs is going to be like trigonometry for you. It's going to be impossible to meet or to discern. Hey, hold on a second. Discern. Hold on a second. That's for using a word, a big word. Be black, use the school word. All right. Yeah, where was I? What was going with? Okay, at this moment, I'm just marinating on... This episode could have been titled Solitude versus Loneliness. Is loneliness the cost of solitude? Is there a way to enjoy solitude and not feel lonely? I don't know. So I guess this current thing that I'm doing with my therapist is because I'm on this fuck the world, I hate people, leave me the fuck alone, everyone sucks kind of deal. And she's like, nah, not everyone. Just the white folks. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. All right. Look, why am I being defensive of my own podcast? Beast, stop. What the fuck? Knock it off. Right. Just some English-speaking white folk. Hey, high five. Okay, where was I? Oh, right. So, actually, I didn't use those words, but I was trying to say, lady, I love this solitude. I would trade, I mean, like, I'm willing to put up with loneliness for this fucking solitude. Because, yeah, people are expensive to me. People are just, okay, it doesn't help that when I'm around other people, my instinct to get into people-pleasing kicks in. So that is also a problem for me. makes it difficult for me to be around people and not blame them for, or not blame them, but walking alone. Honestly, I don't mind being alone. I enjoy solitude. I just don't know. I guess I don't have any fucking solutions at this point. I'm just pointing out symptoms. I'm just saying that I'm enjoying solitude. I'm enjoying all that. I just don't know how to go about these moments of loneliness. Because that loneliness is what got me into shitty relationships. Tolerating shitty relationships. And holding on to shitty relationships. I remember telling myself, yeah, I don't want to be alone. But I'm like, you know what? Not that bad. But I could see myself compromising my morals. What's recently happened to me is that loneliness. I told you how it pops up when I'm after drinking beer, a lot of alcohol. But sometimes it like sneaks up on me. And next thing you know, I'm being friends with the wrong people. I'm tolerating the wrong people. And it's like, all of a sudden, I forget that I have no problem walking away. You know what? Before I leave, I'm going to read out a quote that, recently crossed my mind, and it had me thinking. Self-care, and it goes, this one of those quotes, and it goes, you can mute people in real life too. It's called boundaries. No, that's not the one. But that's, yeah, I mean, I like that quote, but no, that's not the one I'm looking for. The one I'm looking for goes something about, you know, let me just find it. I love this, right? I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries to accommodate your disrespect. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Am I not following this guy? Okay, no, I am. Just not. Okay, I'm going to save this one. But I'm going to add this in the show notes. This is a good quote. So one more time. I would rather adjust my life to your absence than adjust my boundaries to accommodate your disrespect. You know what's funny? For me, it's just I would rather adjust my life to your absence. I constantly adjust my life to people's absence. Sometimes I think because I used to be a contractor and it was just so, it's just gotten so used to end of a contract and your coworkers find out that you really don't like them or, you know, you don't keep in touch. Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm just going to leave that in the show notes for you to reflect on. And I don't mind walking alone. This concludes episode 108. I don't mind walking alone. All right. With that said, there are links in the show notes called other links for you to check out. And one is the best episodes of the Eric Andre Show. Yesterday I was really high. And I started watching some Eric Andre Show, and definitely I agree the Hannibal Buress episode is the funniest one so far. All right, okay. With that said, this concludes today this episode of Shut Up Podcast 108. Don't mind walking alone. If you want to holler at me, you can find me on these internet streets on Twitter. While Elon Musk hasn't fucked it up, and my at is bblizzak or at Shut Up Podcast. You can also find me on TikTok at b.black. Website address is shutuppodcast.com, www.cannabis.com. Kidding. www.shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website or go to Google, Apple, and Amazon Podcasts. Yo. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm working on my ending, right? I'm thinking I'm going to say, first of all, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. And then I'm going to add,
I am your king now.
Followed by, peace. Peace. It's done. It's out. We done. Yeah. I'm gonna kick a freestyle. Ready? I'm kidding. That's it. All right. Peace.